Grace, mercy, and peace come to you this morning from God our Father, his beloved Son, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit who gathers us in worship. Today we want to talk about the joy that we experience whenever we are in close fellowship with God. And to begin this message under the title, The Wonders of Intimacy with Jesus, I'd like to begin by telling you the story about a guy who was watching football on one Saturday afternoon. He had the remote in his hand when the phone rang. He walked over to the phone with the remote in his hand. While on the phone, he was interested in keeping up with the game so as to not miss any big plays. He couldn't see the TV from where he was, but he figured that at least he would listen in. He pointed the remote towards the television to turn up the volume, and it didn't work. He began to fuss and complain that the TV was no good. It's not that the TV was broken, but the remote was too far from the TV, and that's why it was not responding. So just like this guy, sometimes Christians would think that God doesn't work, when in reality, the problem is that we are just too far away from God. Closeness and intimacy with God is what provides the full experience of walking with Him. Some of us have stopped at a point where the reception from heaven is faint, and we are clicking our spiritual remotes, but it's not getting any kind of results at all. This can leave us feeling neglected, rejected, and faithless. Every time we try our spiritual remotes, and it seems like there isn't any signals, we begin to feel neglected, rejected, and faithless. But while we may be feeling so, with God, there is always a higher place of experience. And Jesus had 12 disciples, and out of the 12, these three guys, Peter, James, and John, were always closer to him than the rest. You will notice that this is not the only time when they are seen with Jesus exclusively, not just on this mountain from the gospel reading this morning, but when he raised Jairus' daughter from the dead in Mark 5, verse 37, they were there with him in the room after he put everybody out. And when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane to pray, the scripture tells us in Mark 14:33 that he took Peter, James, and John with him to a further distance to go and pray. So they were always with him. Today, from our gospel text, I want to show you the wonders of being in an intimate relationship with God as we climb the Mount of Transfiguration together with Jesus, Peter, James, and John. The first thing we want to look at is the adventurous journey. An adventurous journey. In Matthew 7, verse 1, it says, after 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter, James, and John, the brother of James, and led them up a high mountain by themselves. So first of all, intimacy with God is an adventurous journey. God is an amazing traveler. He is traveling all of the time in history. And this is why the theme of his mission is follow me. Every time Jesus meets a person, he invites them not to come to him, but to follow him. We find this continuously in the Bible. He says, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. He says, take up your cross and follow me. And we see these phrases going on and on and on. So see, there is a difference between being for Jesus and and being with Jesus. The one who is for Jesus is the one who declares that Jesus is Lord, and that's as far as it gets. The one who is with Jesus is the one who declares that Jesus is Lord and is following him everywhere he goes. So from Abraham to John the Baptist, the story continues as an adventurous one. Every single one of these guys who Jesus called, he called them to follow him. He told Abraham, come and I will show you a land flowing with milk and honey. He told Moses, come and I'll take you to Pharaoh and I'm going to show you wonderful things and I want you to go and deliver my people. And we saw that when Moses obeyed and when God was with him as a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. And so God will always take us on an adventurous journey. Not a one of these men who drew closer to God experienced anything other than excitement and overwhelming joy by the experiences that they had. We read in the Old Testament text this morning where Moses is up on a mountain and the glory of God came down upon the mountain. And you imagine the kind of experience that he had at that given moment. Notice the text says he led them. So he led them, meaning you have to be sure you are following Jesus at a very close proximity. As you are on this journey with him, he led them. They did not lead him. And as we walk this walk, are we being led by God? Or are we being led by other things? It's the question we need to begin to ask ourselves. Are we following Jesus Christ? Sometimes joining with Jesus can be tough. All right, it can be tough. He takes us along some difficult paths. This time it's up on a mountaintop. Some of us want to have a mountaintop experience while sitting in our recliners. And it doesn't work that way. Sometimes the journey can be very difficult. Sometimes the journey can be very tough. But Jesus wants us to go along with him as he travels down the path of life and experience the things that he is experiencing. And so this is not a moment of reclining. It's a moment of following Jesus Christ. Imagine what it was like going up that mountain with those disciples on a very hot day. And they're walking following Jesus because he wants to go up there. They didn't know why he wanted them to go, but they were going anyways. This is exactly what it's like when Jesus says that we must fast and pray to draw closer to him. When he says that we need to have devotions and study the word of God to draw closer to him, to get ourselves connected in small groups, to draw closer to him. These are things that we ourselves don't like, don't want to do. We are tired and weary, and we have other things on our agendas that we need to take care of. But God is calling us to a more intimate or closer relationship with him, and he's calling us to do that by following him where he is taking us. How can we get any closer without doing these things? It's going to take some efforts on our parts. But while we are following Jesus, it'll be easy. The next point I want to bring up is an awakening encounter. We talk about an adventurous journey. Now it is an awakening encounter. Look in Matthew 17, verse 2. He says, there he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as the light. Notice that they had an awakening encounter of the real Christ. Somebody else knew the man Jesus Christ. Others knew the man Jesus Christ. Those who were down at the mountain bottom knew the man Jesus Christ. The ones on the top knew the other Christ, the real Christ, the one who came down from heaven. They seen him now in his glory. They are elated by this thing. A taste of heaven on earth is what these guys are experiencing as they are up on the mountaintop. This is the kind of experience that God wants us to have with him. The word transfigured means to transform into something more beautiful and elevated too. So Jesus Christ changing here is totally different from the person that he was before. He became metamorphosed before their eyes. From the word metamorphosis, where we get a caterpillar changing into a butterfly. This is the kind of change that happened before their very eyes. The disciples are overjoyed that by what they are experiencing. But it doesn't stop there. You know, when you go to the restaurant and they give you the first little dessert, and after you eat that stuff, you think it was the food, and then they bring this big platter. This is exactly what is happening here. And so he's there, and they're enjoying the moment with Jesus Christ as he has changed, transfigured before their very eyes in his full glory. And as they're standing there, the Bible says in Matthew 17:3, then there appeared before them Moses and Elijah talking with Jesus. It changes from just a glorious moment to a heaven on earth moment right there. There was a message in all of this. In all of this, the message is there is a better life than this God was showing to these three gentlemen. There is a better life than this life that you are in here on this earth. God is talking to us this morning through this very experience we are having from the gospel text, that there is a better life. When we draw closer to God and seek his face and do his will, there is a better life. We begin to experience him in a more revealing way as he makes himself known to us. There is a better life, Jesus is saying here, and that someday we will enjoy it in its fullness. The last point this morning is an amazing reaction. Look at Matthew 17, verse 4. Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, I will put up three shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." Let's look at Peter's reaction. "Lord, it is good for us to be here." When we walk closely with Jesus, the excitements and joys are indescribable. Here are some things that come out of that. One is dwelling in his presence becomes a desire. When we draw closer to God, dwelling in his presence becomes a desire, something we long for, and something we want to live in is what we see coming out of here. "Lord, let me make three. It is good for us to be here. Let us not go back down there. Let us stay up here." The things of earth grow strangely dim when we draw closer to God. Those things in the world that matter so much to us matters no more because of the relationship that we are experiencing with Jesus Christ. He says, "Let us stay here." And as we draw closer, the things of earth grows dimmer. It's like taking a flight. And when you get in a plane and it takes off and you're looking at, you know, the surface of the earth, and then as it elevates, and the higher it goes, the smaller the things down here gets. And that's exactly the picture that we get as we draw closer to where God is. And as we begin to experience these glorious moments with him, the things of the earth becomes dimmer and dimmer and dimmer. And all we long for and want is that glory that comes from the throne of God. And we seek and long for it day in and day out. Next thing that happens is being in heaven becomes a desire. The disciples had seen what heaven is like as they drew closer to God. And seeing this took away fears and took away doubts. And the desire was to be with God whenever that time comes. As we draw closer in fellowship with God, these are the kind of experiences we begin to have. And then lastly, it clears out doubts and fears. And many of us have doubts and fears about the afterlife, the reality of that life. It is real. As we get closer and closer in fellowship with Jesus Christ, that the life after this one becomes a real life to all of us. And so God is calling us to draw closer to him. Now, the question that many Christians have had regarding this concept of following Jesus is, how do I follow him when he's no longer here bodily? Jesus has left the earth and he's no longer here. How do I follow him? Well, Jesus is not here bodily, but Jesus is here wordly. And I made up that word wordly because it's not right, but I'm trying to, you know. But he's here in word. All right? The word made flesh. The scripture says in John 1:1, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. So Jesus is the word. The question we are asking, how do I follow him? We follow Jesus now by following the word, because he is the living word. The word of God has been given to us. And all scriptures is God-breathed. And it's profitable for teaching, for rebuke, for correcting, and for training in righteousness, so that the man of God would be thoroughly equipped for every good work. That's how it is as we follow Jesus Christ and we follow the word. And as we follow the word, the things that we need to do as we go along, as we draw from the word of God, the first thing we need to do is change our lifestyle. Changing our lifestyle it has to do with repentance. Repent from the way we are going. A lot of Christians have been in the church sitting in the recliner for 30 years doing the same thing. We have not changed our ways one bit. And God is saying change. And the way we are to change is by following the word of God. Not just allowing the word of God to educate us and inform us, but let the word transform our lives. And so let us cultivate an attitude of change, changing our lifestyle, repenting from our ways, and following God is the first thing we need to do. Because the word of God comes to do that, as we read in 2 Timothy 3:16. It says it comes to correct us and to train us in righteousness. It takes effort. And that's how we follow God. The next thing we need to do is get established in a Bible-based church. A church where the word of God is being taught and people are being challenged in their faith to walk by faith and live out the word of God. It's the second thing that we need to do. And I'm talking to those who are watching us live stream as well. Get involved and then get plucked into a small group where folks are studying the word of God together and are growing in their faith. And get away from this recliner attitude, you know, I don't like this, I don't do that, I don't want this. We get away from it and we follow Jesus, and it becomes a practice as we humble ourselves and follow him to wherever he leads. It's what the scripture is calling us to do. Because when we follow God, I'm telling you, the experiences that we will have would be glorious. Would be some transforming moments in our lives as we do these things. Let's get out of the recliner and follow Jesus Christ, folks. Because he has greater things for us than we've already received. Next thing is pray every day, confessing your sins as you forgive others theirs. It's important. Many of us don't pray every day. Many of us don't ask God's forgiveness for our sins. Many of us feel like we don't sin. But the scripture says, if you say you have no sin, you deceive yourself and the truth is not in you. But if you confess your sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Confess our sins every day before God. Practice to live by what God's word says. It's another thing that we need to do. Not just get informed by the word, but let the word transform you. Practice it. Practice to live by God's word. Love others by sharing God's love with them. We have a lot of folks that we need to reach the gospel to. We come across them in the parking lots. We come across them in the shopping center. We come across them at work, at school. And God wants us in our hearts to go out there and share the love of God that he has shared with us with those people. And as we do these things, we, yes, are following Jesus. Remember, I told you, following Jesus can be tough. But the good thing is we are following him. And if we are following him, then it means that he will not take you to places where he himself has never been. God will never take you to a place where he's never been. Never send you and stay behind. He's always ahead, allowing us to follow him. And he's showing us exactly, precisely what he wants us to do. So I pray that as you've received these words today from God, it would encourage your hearts and keep you steadfast in your faith, and then help you also to change your attitude in the way we approach the throne of grace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, all God's people say, amen.